Well, hey, we're glad to see you this week at Crossroads, man. It's a blessing to have you with us. We're in a series of messages called Everything You Need to Know About Life is in Your Fishbowl, and it's been quite a journey. We kind of did some tank assessment in week one. Last week, we looked at some fish faces, some of those people, some of those personality types that are in your life and in your world and in my life and in my world. And the tendency is, when we look at fish faces and look at people, is to say, man, I wish God would just fix these people. But the person that you and I can most effectively change is not other people. It's ourselves. And so keep that in mind as we go on this journey today. If you weren't with us last week, it was a different week in some ways because the first and the second service wasn't identical. And those of you in the first service, if you were here last week, you missed out. If you weren't here at all last week, you missed out on an incredible, powerful story. There was a baptism with it, but the story is incredible. If you missed that, go to our website. It's new, by the way, our website, ilovemychurch.org, has been totally revamped. And on the front page, you'll be able to take in what you missed. It's about 4 or 5 minutes long, but quite a God moment, one that I will, and my guess is if you were here or you took it in, that you'll never, ever forget. But last week, we peered into our aquariums, and we found some interesting people there that we all come face-to-face with, some in our lives as we roam around and do life, and some of them we see these qualities as we look in the mirror. And today we're going to swim kind of the other side of our tank, and we're going to look at six more fish. And as I talk about these, I'm going to share some fish facts with you, because you might quickly, like, it's amazing what our brains do. As soon as we start talking, you're like a face pops in your mind. You're like, oh, that's my boss. Oh, that's a relative. Oh, that's my wife. That's my husband. I'm dating that person. But again, let's try to look through them some and to see ourselves in the mirror, because I think you'll see some of yourself. And at the end of today, I'm going to give you what I promised you last week, and that is the secret to the whole thing of fish face. The whole secret to dealing with those problem people, those challenging people in our life. I'm going to give you the secret. And listen, if you and I can grab hold and live out this secret, it will change your relational world. It really, really will. It's easier said than done, but it's there, all right? And so if you would take out your message outlines, we're going to kind of dive in and look around. The first creature that we're going to talk about today is a very slippery and slimy type of a person. He or she spends a lot of time in the rocks. In the bottom of the aquarium, they hide in holes. Sometimes they will just bury themselves in the sand, and they'll look for unsuspecting prey to swim on by, and then they attack. I'm talking about the eel. The eel. An eel is someone, listen, if you know an eel or you've got some eel-like tendencies, these are the people that exaggerate. They elongate. They falsify some things. They're just creative, if you will, with the truth. They put their sinister spin on stuff. I'm talking about people who often don't tell the truth. Know any of those people? Are you those people? You'd be shocked, I think, if we knew how many people are emitting eel-like tendencies that you swim with in the aquariums. It's tough to deal with the eel. They're just tough people to deal with. They damage people. They hurt businesses. They hurt teams. They cause havoc in families. They can even cause problems in churches. And here's what's so wild about the eel. When you talk to them, they seem fine. They can be upstanding citizens. They can be very accomplished people. They can be very responsible people. They can be people in your lives or in the world that have achieved a lot of stuff. But beneath their veneer is when you begin to see an eel. Now, how do we deal with eels? Well, how do you deal with people that exaggerate, that falsify? Do we just say, well, I hope they turn over a new leaf? Like, I hope they grow through this season. I hope they get better. Like, ooh, I'm struggling with these people. I hope they change the way that they do life. Like, ugh, this is not good. I know they've been lying for a long time, but maybe tomorrow they'll change. You can hope that, but it's not going to change. Or we can take some direction from Scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Instead of doing what we'd like to do, right? We will lovingly follow the truth at all times. That's for us. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ. Your goal and my goal, we can't fix all the problem fish in our lives, but we can address ourselves. And as a Christ follower, I need to become more and more daily like my Lord. And it says in Proverbs 12, verse 22, Proverbs is the book of wisdom, by the way. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Let's look at some fish facts about the eel. The first thing is you got to confront the eel in love. You might circle in love. Because some of us say, oh, I'd like to confront them. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm, one day I'm just going to let them have it. That's not proper. Some of you already, you got an eel picture in your mind. That person, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to confront them. You just gave me permit. No, the key is in love. You got to ask God for the right heart. You got to pray for the right heart. You got to confront them. If you can't confront in love, you shouldn't be confronting because you can cause more harm than good. The eel will continue to slither around oftentimes until they're confronted. They may need someone that really loves them, that's willing to confront them in love and have an honest conversation, but it's got to be out of love. You see, I've got all kinds of critics, right? We all do. I'm not into snipers that will sit off that really don't know me and take pot shots at me. But if you really love me, if I know you love me, we've done life together, I'm ears. I mean, come and talk to me. Yeah, right. But it's different if it's not done in love, right? So we got to confront the eel in love. Here's another fish fact. Help the eel get real. Because eels are kind of living a fantasy. They lie because typically they're insecure. They've never been confronted before. They've been allowed to do what they do. If you build a relationship out of love and you actually confront in love, they'll probably still squeal when you talk to them, right? They're like, oh, they're found out. Somebody busted their cover. You don't do it in a pool of people. Nobody wants that. I've got a value I live by that we publicly affirm and you privately critique. Nobody wants to be called out in front of people. Don't do that. That's not loving. But if you confront an eel, they might balk at first, but then they're finally going to give it up and you'll be like, you're right, you know what? I really did mess up. Now, does that mean they'll never slither around and crawl in the hole and hide in the rocks again? You don't know that. That's not, you can't even make that call. You can't make that happen. But if you love people, right? We need to love people enough to tell the truth. You got to help them get real. Sometimes they need help. If you were here during the first part of the year, the first 9 weeks, we did mental health. And we talked about, you know what, sometimes it's interesting how that works, that everything else, if there's something wrong in our life, we don't have a problem going to an expert. I mean, if those of you that are golfers, right, it's getting to be that time of year. If you're a golfer and you had a connection, somebody said, hey, I'm going to be hanging out with Tiger Woods. You want a couple of lessons? Now, Tiger Woods, listen, he may struggle a little bit golfing now because of his injuries, but he's probably one of the greatest golfers that's ever lived, maybe the greatest golfer. He could certainly give you a great lesson. If you're into fishing, right, I'm going to date myself, but Jimmy Houston was a guy I remember as a kid watching on TV on during the weekend, and he was this great fisherman, right? If you wanted to learn where to go and what kind of bait to use and what techniques and how to be a great fisherman, Jimmy Houston would have been your guy. If you need financial advice, and we're going to talk about financial health this year as well, but a lot of people could use that. You don't have a problem, hopefully, of going to a good financial advisor to get help for your finances. Some people, their finances are in such a train wreck that they don't want any help. They don't want to let anybody know. It's not going to get better. If you're not feeling well and you may put it off for a while, especially if you're a guy, right? But finally, you're like, I need to go to the doctor. If you had a heart problem, you want to go to a heart doctor. You don't feel bad like, oh yeah, I'm a worthless person. I had to go to a heart doctor. Tried to fix it myself. I couldn't do it. Really? So if you have one of these problems, like this eel would have, Some Christian counsel should be great. Somebody to speak into your life. If you have a problem and you've been lying or being unreal for a long, long time, you might need a professional to sit down and help you steer and guide you through that pathway. You got to help an eel get real. You, if you're the eel, it's time to get real and get some help. Help is available. You don't have to take it like, oh, gee whiz, I don't know, I can't do this. Let's look at another fish. This is kind of an interesting fish. This is the minnow. Just a minnow. We all know minnows. We all have some minnow qualities in our lives. Minnows are martyrs. These are people who say, well, you know, I'm just a benign bait fish swallowed up by the world. No one notices me. I don't stand out. The world's really hard on me. Nobody really notices me. Nobody understands the pain I have. Nobody carries all the weights that I carry. Martyrs. They're always looking down. They throw parties all the time. They're the only ones show up. It's a pity party. You stay around them very long, you'll start to join the pity party. Life is unfair. Nothing ever good happens to me. You better watch out. The world will just eat you up like it's eat me up. Are you depressed yet? Don't get sucked in. That's a fish fact. With the minnows, don't get sucked in. These little minnows carry a serious wake behind them, and if you're not cautious, you'll get caught up in their wake, and you'll be pity partying too. They'll bring you down. You'll start to join in their lingo. You'll start to think everybody's against you. The world's out to get you. The martyr. Here's another fish fact. Make the minnow or the martyr just laugh. The Bible talks about laughter as good medicine. If you know a martyr, if you're a martyr, if you got a martyr at the office, try to develop your sense of humor and just get them to laugh. For one, it'll drag them maybe a little bit out of their pity party. For the other thing, it is a bit of a distraction. They do need to laugh. Sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously. Can we just agree with that? I mean, it's easy to kind of get caught up in the negative and just be ugly. And sometimes we just need to laugh. Like, when's the last time you really just laughed? Laughter is good. If you're around these minnows, try to get them to laugh. And here's the next one. Skip the swimming lessons. Martyrs don't take advice well. So just skip trying to fix them. Skip trying to give them a swimming lessons. You know, let me show you how to do this right. Let me show you how to do that. They don't take those lessons well. They're pretty prideful. These little fish can be very prideful. They can be control freaks. They don't take advice very well. It just freaks them out. So don't go there. And you can swim with a minnow. You can swim with a martyr, but limit your swim time because they will rub off. If all you have around you is minnows, you'll become a minnow. If you're around martyrs all the time, you'll join their pity party and you'll become like them. Make sure that you and I purposely replenish our tank with some healthy fish. I'll talk about that more in a little bit. Our next fish is a little bit of an intimidating one. It's one that, depending on your age, just the sound effect of it will freak you out. Yeah. How many of you remember seeing that for the first time? I don't remember what year. I was going to look that up. I didn't. It had to be 1970-something, I'm guessing. I remember going to the movie theater. I remember afterwards hearing my parents talk about, all across the news, people didn't even want to go to a lake. Some people said they weren't getting in their pool for a while. I'm like, come on. Like, I mean, you know, I get it, if you're a surfer, you're not going to the Pacific Ocean probably the next day surfing without taking a look around, right? But we're going to talk about the shark. I mean, I love that movie, Jaws. One of my favorite parts was the time when Captain Quinn shot the great white with that harpoon, remember? And that harpoon was attached to those yellow barrels. And you're watching those yellow barrels. And that was pretty intense. I remember, I don't remember how old I was, because I don't remember what year it was in the 70s, but I was in school, and I remember, man, I was just on the edge of my seat. That was such a tense time, and I'm watching those barrels, and I mean, that movie, you look at it now, and you're like, yeah, it's not so great, right? I mean, the special effects weren't as good as they are today, but I'm telling you, you fooled me when I was a kid, right? But let's talk about these people that are sharks. They're aggressive. They are. They're controlling. They're tough. They're a shark. You know a shark? You got any in your family, in your workplace, in your home? Anybody see a shark in the mirror? And I'm not talking about your wife standing behind you. You say, oh, Scott, I'm married to a shark. Oh, he's a control freak. He's got the jaws around our finances. Scott, I know a shark, man, this girl, whoo, she will wear you out. She'll take your skin right off. Her fins stick right up. Sharks, they swim over people. They swim through people. They eat people up. They attack people. But can I tell you, sometimes these sharks, they don't even know it. Could it be that you're a shark and you don't even know it? Sharks oftentimes are oblivious. They have no clue. If you're one of those people, listen, turn your head around, look over that dorsal fin. Do you see victims in the water? Do you see blood? You're like, hey, it works for me. It may not be working for them. A few years ago, listen, I worked with a shark. And I remember sitting down with her. Because finally, it was just like, wow. It wasn't just me. It was all kinds of people that she was causing damage to. And so I sat down. Remember, you critique in private. And I said, hey, I just need to have a conversation. And I started to explain just how her shark tendencies had affected me and how I didn't really want to spend time around her, that I loved her. I loved her heart. But the way that she conducted herself was just damaging. And I thought I was going to be in for a shark fight. But what happened is I watched this lady just kind of crumble and then started to cry. And the reason that she did it is because she was oblivious. She had no idea how she came across. And you know what? Our relationship changed after that. Oh, I'm not saying she just instantly became unsharkly, but she definitely changed. Sharks come in all ages, all sizes and shapes. We label them differently, right? When my kids were little, I think that was the first time I ever heard the whole baby shark thing, right? Baby shark, bum, 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 baby shark, bum, bum, bum. And now they've got a whole new one, right? We got child sharks, bum, 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 bum. Teenage shark, bum, 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 bum. Adult sharks, bum, 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 bum. They're all around us. But some of us have those tendencies as well. Proverbs 16:9 says this to the controlling, arrogant, and aggressive fish. In their hearts, humans plan their course. Don't we all? I'll swim my way. Don't tell me what to do. I'll swim my way. I'll dominate my own aquarium. I'll rule my fishbowl. But the Lord establishes their steps. The shark. Let me give you some shark fish facts. Don't take the attacks personally. This is huge. I mean, how else do you take them? If you're being attacked, you kind of take that personally. But again, let me refer back to the story that I told you about the lady that I confronted. It wasn't about me personally. I thought it was because they sure felt like it, but when I had a conversation with her, it was just kind of the way she had developed. And nobody in love had ever really sat down and talked to her about it. She was generally offended. It kind of hurt. She wasn't really offended, but she was hurt. She was saddened to think that she came across that way. She never saw herself as a shark. This was just her mode of operation. Don't take the attacks personally. If you and I can change our mindset, they're normally very talented people. They're caring people a lot of times. A lot of times they attack because they've been attacked, because they're insecure, because they're damaged people. They struggle oftentimes with poor self-esteem, and so they're putting on their shark suit trying to make up for how they really feel about themselves inside. Does it make it all go away? No. But does it temper how you see them? Yes. Remember what I said last week? Hurting people hurt people. Another fish fact, try to find out what's freaking them out. When a shark begins to circle you, when you hear that whole da-da-da-da-da-da, sometimes trying to find out what's freaking them out. Hey, you tend to be, I kind of see your dorsal fin standing up here. Like, what's going on? Are you stressed? It looks like you're about ready to bite. Are you worried? Do you know anger is just an outward result of hurt, fear, or frustration? Every time you get angry, you can really substitute, am I afraid? Is that why I'm angry? Am I frustrated? What's the real reason why I'm showing anger? If you can try to find out what's freaking them out, you might kind of get them to take their teeth back in. Let's do another fish fact. Don't let a shark's skin fool you. Do you know a shark's skin, which looks so smooth and slick, is actually like sandpaper to your skin? It's really rough. If a shark was to just swim past you and rub their skin against your skin, it would peel your skin right off. Don't let their skin fool you. You might think, oh, I'm going to get close to this shark. You will lose some hide. You just will. But behind that shark skin is someone that probably has a lot of talent. They may have a very good heart. They may have great ability. But they're driven by this controlling, aggressive, power-hungry thing that probably is because of insecurity. Another fish fact, during an attack, please don't fight back. Don't fight back against a shark attack. I can remember after Jaws, right? There, believe it or not, you can still go back and look at what happened in the media and in the newspapers. And all of a sudden, they were trying to give everybody, because everybody was so freaked out, that they're going to go swimming now, they're going to go surfing now, and they're going to run into Jaws, right? And so one of the things, no joke, you can still look this up, is one of the big things that was going around is if you're attacked by a shark, you got to pick up a blunt object and whack them right between the eyes. That will stop them in their tracks. I heard that over and over and over and over and over. And then looking back, I'm like, that is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, first of all, if I'm swimming in the ocean, I'm not carrying a blunt object. Right? I mean, it's not like I'm in my home. Let me go get a baseball bat. Where do you get a blunt object when you're swimming? But people were freaking out. Oh yeah, just hit them right between the eyes with a blunt object. Okay. Maybe the blunt object is my leg, it just took off. I don't know. But don't fight back with a shark. I'm not telling you don't run either. You kind of have to stand your ground. If the shark begins to get too personal, if they begin to encroach on your stuff or on your space, you need to stop and stand your ground and say, hey, wait a minute, big boy. Hey, wait a minute, big girl. It stops here. You're not going to shark me anymore. It's going to stop here. If you know anything about sharks, you probably know something about this next fish. I'm going to talk about the remora. The remora. Remoras are freeloading fish. They're free-riding fish. They affix themselves to a shark. You'll often see, if you see it in nature, that a shark is swimming, and it'll have several remoras attached to the shark. They attach themselves to other big fish as well. And when that big fish eats, you know how like a shark will eat, or a big fish will eat other fish, and then all the little pieces of the fish that they just bit into with their big teeth will float around? The remoras will detach from the ride that they're getting for free, eat some of the scraps for free, and reattach and wait for their next meal. There's remoras in life. Some of us have remora-like tendencies. Others of us have been victims of a remora. Maybe you've been very successful in some area of life, maybe financially, maybe relationally, whatever the area is, but be very, very careful about remoras, because they love to attach themselves to you when things are going well, when you've achieved some success, when they feel that they can grab some of the scraps around your success. You ever watch people that won a lot of money in the lottery? You know how many friends they gain in a real quick hurry? You went to school. We went to school together 48 years ago. I just thought I'd call and see how you're doing. Those are remoras, right? Oh, this is fun. Remoras are around us. Some of us are remoras. I remember... a remora. One time, this is quite a few years ago, I was speaking at a conference, and I stayed there a couple of nights with a friend, and we spoke during these conferences. One night I was there after one of my talks. I happened to mention during one of the talks that when I was in the Air Force, that I played ball in the Air Force in California. And when the conference concluded, it was kind of one of those things where you stand around, hang around. They kind of had, you know, hors d'oeuvres and different things. And so I was standing around, and there was this young guy that walked up to me. And as soon as he kind of got up to me and recognized who I was from the conference, I saw him kind of puff his chest out. You know how guys will do, especially guys to guys, right? And he kind of pumps his chest out, and he said, "Hey, did I hear you right today when you were talking? Did you say you played ball in the Air Force?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I did." And he said, "What position did you play?" And I said, "I was a shortstop." He said, "Where'd you bat in the lineup?" I said, "Well, I was a leadoff hitter because I was pretty fast and I had pretty good hand-eye coordination. I could get myself on base a lot." And he said, "Well, you know what? I played baseball too. I played when I was in college and I was a pitcher." And he said, "You know what? I bet I could strike you out." He said, "Matter of fact, I've got a ball and a glove and a bat up in my room. You want to meet out back in a little bit and we'll see." It's like, what? And then me being me, right? I'm like, okay. And so I met him out there. I got my shoes on, right? And he got his bat and his ball. And we went out there and he started to pitch. And I beat the fool out of that pitcher. No, I'm joking. I didn't do that. But that's what I wanted to do. Right? I mean, in there, that's just, there's something in all of us. And listen, I've got some of that in me. It's like, what do you mean? Really? Okay. And your dorsal fins stand up and you're ready to go. But I didn't do that. But you know what I was dealing with? I was dealing with our next fish. I was dealing with the competitive crab. Crabs are competitive. Everything to a crab is a competition. I'm just going to be honest. I have crab-like tendencies. If you think I'm bad today, I am way, way, way better. You ought to see how bad I used to be as a crab. My wife can tell you. I got kicked out of more games playing when I was in the Air Force than anybody I ever knew. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying reality. And it didn't have to just be baseball. It could be anything. I remember like beating my grandmother finally in a game in Monopoly, and I was so appreciative that I buckled that old woman finally. Because it didn't matter what I played, I want to win. That was just me, and it still is. And I have to tone myself down a little bit, and so I still have crab-like tendencies. But let me ask you, do you know a crab? And not me. Always competing. Listen, who's got the best jewelry? What kind of car you drive? What neighborhood do you live in? Would you pay for that house? Who's the best decorator? Who's the best cook? Who's the strongest? Remember, my daddy could beat up your daddy. Who's the biggest? Who's the baddest? Who's the smartest? Competitors. Wow, yeah, we've got to win. Crabs. Those are the crabs. You ever met somebody you'd have never guessed on the outside they're competitive? Have them over for a game night. You'll find out who the crabs are. I look back over my shoulder and watch some of the people we've invited to our house through the years. These sweet old people, sweet young people, bring them over. Oh, they're so pleasant. Put out a game, and all of a sudden, the fangs come out, man. The big pinchers come out. It's like, whoa. I got to be careful, because you know what tends to come back out in me? My crab claws. It's like, I really liked you, but now, listen, I'm taking you down. Right? Oh, let's get some crab fish facts before I get in trouble. Avoid the crab trap. Crabs will put their bait out there. They'll try to lure you into competition. Like that guy at the conference. Hey, really? Oh, I was a pitcher. Hey, you want to go? Let's see. That's bait. Come on and play with me. Ping pong. Little cards. They just want to get their claws into you. Know anybody like that? You see that person in the mirror? You see, you ever see those big pitchers come out at a kid's game and it's not by the kids? It's the parents? Oh, I could tell you more stories about that. I always have to wonder, like, where's the line between showing all my weaknesses? Does that really help people, or does that make people say, holy cow, he's a sick man? My son was a very good athlete. And when he played basketball in high school, he wasn't the tallest kid on the team by far. But he was so quick, he could jump, he was a good shooter, he was just an all-around good player, right? But in those games, in the stands, it was harder for me to sit in the stands than it was when I played. And so I had to have a tendency to get verbal sometimes and try to help coach the officials that didn't seem to see the game as accurately as I did from the stands. And so there was times, right, I was pretty choosy of when I would say what I would say, and normally it was when everybody else got quiet, so I wanted to make sure that the official could understand that I was talking to them. Well, my son's senior year, they had their awards night, right, and the coach got all the players together, all the seniors, right, and all the parents together, and they were passing out awards and all of that, and then the coach said, hey, I've got one award I've never given out before. And this award's not even going to one of my players. It's going to go into one of our players' fathers. And he names me out, and he said, I'm going to give you a trophy because you're the one that said a lot of things from the stands that I always wanted to say to the officials, but I'd have been kicked out for. Yeah. So just so you know. So let's go to another crab fish fact. Appreciate also a crab's strengths. I'm not saying that was my strength. I'm just saying this is one of the things, because they're competitive people. They can be good people, but they OD on competition. They have a lot of strengths. They can be successful people, people that achieve a lot, but you've got to understand a lot of us have OD'd on competition. We tend to compare ourselves. Crabs. And when you compare yourself, you're missing out on who God made you to be. There's no way you can compare two completely different and unique objects. You can't. To ever compare yourself to someone else is not a fair thing because, A, you're unique. God made you 100% unique. You're not like anybody else. God wants you to be you, not for you to be somebody else. I get it that you see other people built up and you want that, but you just need to be you, which means you got to focus most on the person in the mirror. Let's do one more fish, and then I'm going to give you the secret to all of this. I want to talk to you about the kissing fish. If you're really technical, some call it a gourami. I didn't even put that down, but a kissing fish can be a flirt. Seductive, caught up in their appearance, needy, lonely. You know somebody who's always flirting? Somebody's dropping innuendos. They're telling stories. They're telling off-color jokes. They steer subjects, and it kind of tends to where you feel like, ooh, this isn't really comfortable. Or maybe it is comfortable, and you're liking it too much. That's what can happen because these gouramis, these kissing fish, they're everywhere. They show up at the office. They'll show up in churches. They show up in schools. If you start to kind of run through your mind, you'll be like, wow, you know what? I've been speaking to that person for too long. They've been calling more often, and we're spending too much time on the phone. I've been receiving more texts. These gouramis will tear up homes. I can't tell you in my career how many times I've seen these gouramis destroy a home. Oh, I understand it takes two. I can't tell you how many marriages I've seen ruined because of these gouramis. Because it felt so good that somebody was willing to listen, and it didn't start that way. You didn't even see it going that way, and pretty soon it got that way. Gouramis can cause a lot of problems. Let me give you some fish facts real quick. You got to swim away from the gourami. You got to swim away at full speed. As soon as you recognize it, listen, it's time to get away. You don't want the end of where that can end. If you see somebody kind of putting their fins into you, you need to spin on your fins and go the other way. The second fish fact is never swim alone with a gourami. If you see that person, they tend to be flirty. Maybe there's something deep down in you that kind of likes some of the stuff that they're saying, and you kind of feel yourself being drawn to the gourami. You never swim alone with them. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't get alone with some flirt. Don't have a private meeting with that person. Don't. Here's one of the problems that we have as Christians. We've prayed prayers like, Lord, give me the strength to handle temptation. Oh, that's good. But the Lord's Prayer also says, lead us not into temptation. We should be praying, God, lead me away from that arena. I need to jump out of that fishbowl. I know me, and this is too tempting. I got to get out of here. I got to put up boundaries. So I'm not going to swim alone with these people. I take this very, very serious because I've seen it. I've seen it not only in church, but I've seen it in church leaders. We all have. Here's somebody else that failed. And so I put big boundaries around my personal life before that reason. When we built this space, if you go through our offices, every office door has a window in it for a reason. So nobody can meet behind a closed door with somebody else, especially of the opposite sex. I won't meet with the opposite sex if somebody else isn't in the office, even with a window, even with a door open. I won't. I won't ride in a car with a person of the opposite sex unless it's from my own family. I won't. I won't go to lunch or go to dinner with someone of the opposite sex alone. I just won't. You say, oh, that's kind of crazy. That's kind of extreme. I'll take it. I'll take it. I put pretty big boundaries around me that way. I would encourage you, listen, I'm not telling you what all your boundaries would be, but I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I've had so many heartbreaking conversations with husbands and wives that had a gourami involved in their marriage, and they didn't even realize it until it got really ugly. Here's another fish fact. PDA with your spouse. You know what that means, PDA, public display of affection? You say, are you telling me? Right? Like, yeah, hug your spouse in front of people. Hold hand in front of people. kiss your spouse in public. I don't mean to get gross. You understand? If you're not flirting with your spouse, you're flirting with disaster. Can I tell you that? Don't ever quit the flirting. Don't ever quit the dating of your spouse. My wife and I have been married 40 years. We have a date day every Monday. We've kept our marriage a priority. We still flirt. We still enjoy time with each other. We've never quit dating. And here's what's odd. We date each other, always. If you're married and you go on business trips, can I encourage you to take a photo with you? When I used to have to travel more, when I had another job as well as pastor, if I had to go away for a conference, I'd take a picture of my wife or take a picture of my wife and our kids and I'd put it on my TV in my room. I always wanted to be reminded of what I have at home. Some of you right here, if you look at through your tank, I'm about to give you the secret. But can I just tell you, as you look around your fish tank and where you've currently been swimming and the type of fish, some of you need to do this. Some of you may need to flush some of those fish to replenish with some healthier fish. Oh, I'm not saying you get rid of anybody that's not perfect in your life. We'd all disappear, right? But if you've got some relationships that are not healthy, if you're a married couple and you've got some relationships that you just know you wouldn't want your marriage to look like that, you may have to distance yourself some for your own health. That's what I'm saying. You want to swim with some replenishing fish in your aquarium, and so do I. And some of you are not getting to where you could be and being the type of fish God created you to be because you've hooked up with some wrong fish. Some of you may be dating the wrong fish. There's only one thing worse than dating the wrong fish, and that's marrying the wrong fish. But here's the secret. The secret is of this whole fish tank and relationship thing is not from the outside, it's from the inside. The whole key secret hinges from me having a relationship with Christ and having His Spirit live in me. The way that I swim in a healthier aquarium is not to flush all the fish that are around me. It's not about changing the fish faces in our lives, it's about our reactions. The secret is I can't change everybody, but I can have God change me from the inside. And when I begin to see fish faces through God's eyes because I'm spending time with Him in Scripture, then I can have a reaction like He did. Jesus ran into all these fish, but He always had the right reaction. He always had a balance of healthy fish around Him. He didn't get so upset at them that He discarded all those fish and flushed them all, but He had a different reaction to them. Some of us kind of say, well, I gave them what they deserved. We were offered what we don't deserve. If you see a shark as someone that's just waiting to chomp you and bite you and take you down, rather than an insecure person in a shark's skin, you're going to treat them differently. If you recognize that hurting people hurt people, you'll tend to see someone different. You'll tend to have more compassion to that person. Your heart will go out to them. You'll put some healthy boundaries around them, and you may actually be able to help and speak into them because they need some healthy people around them. But when you start to see that they're impacting you more than you're impacting them, it's time to distance yourself. But it begins with me. It begins with you. It begins with the person that we see in the mirror every single day. And the more I spend time in God's Word and see who He says I am, the healthier view I have of who I am, because it doesn't matter what necessarily what everybody else thinks. I know where I get my value from. that will start to defeat some of the insecurity and some of the comparing, some of the jealousy, some of the anger, some of all these other qualities that these other fish have. When I get a good idea of who he is, then I get a good idea of who I am. And then I begin to see and pray, God, show me how to see people like you see people. And you begin to clothe yourself in him, which is our goal as followers, to become more like our Lord. So the real question is, are you going to be a fish face, or are you going to reflect the face of Jesus? It's your choice. It's my choice. Would you bow with me? God, thanks so much for today. Thanks for the privilege that we have to have your word. God, to be able to look at the truth of your word and do it in kind of a unique, fun way, kind of a humorous way to talk about a very serious subject, which is people, which is also the thing that you are most proud of, because you've created every one of us unique. But God, we do come with flaws. We're all born into a sin nature. God, we have insecurities. We've had struggles. We've been hurt. Hurting people tend to hurt other people. God, we've done all of that. God, I pray for every Christ follower that's hearing my voice today, that we take a serious look in our mirror. We don't beat ourselves up for what we see, but what we understand is to be more like you, we have to spend more time with you. And the reason and the way we do that is through your word. And God, the more we get to understand who you are, we'll also understand who you say we are. And then we'll also start to see how to swim with these other people in our tank, because we've watched you do it. For all of us that know you, we have your spirit living inside that will guide and direct us. Help us change, God, through your word. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, can I just tell you, you don't have that discerning spirit in you, because it only comes in by invitation when you give your heart and life to Jesus. If that's you today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, today's your day. Right where you're at, make this your prayer. Say, God, I know I'm not perfect. I'm flawed. I've made mistakes. I've done things I'm not proud of. And all of those things separate me from a holy God. So today, I want to get that right. And the way I get right with you is by me getting off the boss's seat, repenting, turning from my way of doing life and committing to you. And so Jesus, I ask you to come in. Put your spirit inside of me. Save me. Adopt me into your family. And from this day forward, I belong to you. I want to get to know you like you know me. You're now the owner and the boss and the Lord of my life. Direct me. Lead me, I pray. And I give you all the praise in your name, the name that's above all, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.